Every visitor that's here, some of y'all from out of state, I know you traveled in for this meeting, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you to the group from Crossroads for your help yesterday passing out tracts and flyers, and we appreciate that. And Brother Brad, we enjoyed the good preaching this morning. We appreciate that. And Brad's family's here. We appreciate each one of you and each one of you visiting. We just want to say a heartfelt thanks. We're glad you're here. But I'm thankful that most of all that the Lord Jesus is here and that the Holy Ghost is here.
Amen.
And you say, are you worried when people get up, you know, when it's not, no, you don't need an invitation around here.
Amen.
We're not worried about it getting out of hand.
Right.
I'm scared sometimes it's going to get in our hand and out of God's hand is what I'm worried about.
Amen.
I just want God to have his perfect will around here. And if he has his will and his way, everything will be all right.
Amen.
Everything will be all right. And ain't nothing got out of hand this morning. So Romans chapter number 12. And I'll repeat it, you don't need an altar call to come to an altar around here.
Amen.
God deals with your heart, it's time to go to the altar.
Right.
Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Very familiar portion of scriptures. You can stand with me if you want. It reads good sitting down, standing up. It reads good laying down. It reads good if you ain't reading it. It reads good because it's the Bible.
Amen.
It reads real good. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you bless the reading of your word. God, I pray you bless the preaching of your word. Thank you for what you've already done here this morning. God, I pray you continue to work in hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Pray you'd have your will and way in all that's said and done. And Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, all throughout the Bible, I believe that God offers different calls to each one of us. God offers calls. Number one, I want to say God offers us a call to salvation.
Right.
The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, that no man, Jesus said, no man come unto me except the Father which sent me, draw him. And he said, I will raise him up on the last day. He teaching us in John 6, 44 that you can't get saved without a call to salvation. Many people get too extreme on that and they say, well, that means that only a certain few will be called and there's only an elect. And they go off on this tangent of what we call hyper-Calvinism, some kind of fatalism. Let me say that's a bunch of hogwash, because the Bible says not only in John 6, 44 that he's going to draw men, but in John 12, 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, hey, unto me. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, and let me say 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary, Jesus was lifted up on that old rugged cross, and 2,000 years ago, hey, when he went on the cross and was lifted up, he began to draw men, women, boys and girls, red, yellow, black, white, don't matter how rich, don't matter how poor, doesn't matter hey what kind of cultural background they come from, no matter what secular society they come from, hey, Jesus Christ is in the drawing business, hey, because they lifted him up from the earth, hey, and it was the divine will, it was a pleasing, hey, I said it was pleasing, it pleased God to bruise him. It wasn't some soldiers that put him on the cross, it was God put Jesus on the cross, and he put him on the cross to draw sinners. Hey, good neighbor, he's in the drawing business. He's in the calling sinners to salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, he wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. That's his will this morning. It's his will to call sinners to salvation. Don't worry about that thing. We're full with that. Hey, not only is he calling sinners to salvation, let me say this, he's calling saints to service. Let me say he's calling saints to serve. He calls each one of us. He's going to call me to throw this thing out the window in a minute. He's calling saints to serve. He calls every one of us to serve in some capacity. He didn't save anybody to sit a pew and to be just a frozen few. Let me say, Jesus Christ, when he saves a person, he calls them to serve. Now, he calls certain ones to specific ministry. And we believe around here what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Hey, it's a man that God calls to preach. He don't call women to preach. Girls, he may call you to be something or another. He won't call you ever to preach the Word of God. He'll call each one of us to testify, everybody to tell what happened to you, give your testimony, tell them what Jesus can do. Hey, but he calls men to preach. All right? And so certain people have specific calls on their life. But let me say, there's a call right here in Romans chapter number 12 that God calls every last born again person.
Right.
Every person that's been saved by the good grace of God. Every individual that has ever come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God calls them, hey, to an invitation to what I call consecration. We don't hear much about the word consecration in our day and age, but years go by. You go back and read some of the old timers and you listen to some messages from years ago and you hear people talking about a consecrated life.
Right.
A consecrated life. The word consecration is the act of ceremony of separating from the common use to the sacred use, of devoting and dedicating a person or a thing, hey, totally to the service and the worship of God. Goes in the Old Testament, certain places, the tabernacle was consecrated. It was the place where people would worship God. The instruments in the tabernacle in the temple, they were consecrated wholly and totally just to worshiping God in that particular place for that particular purpose. God calls each one of us and he offers every last Christian this morning an invitation to consecration. He wants you, sir, ma'am, boy, girl. He wants you teetotally, lock, stock, and barrel, consecrated totally to him. Hey, for a specific purpose to serve him and to worship him. God calls every last one of us to the invitation of consecration. Here in Romans chapter number 12, I want you to notice a few things with me. I preach just as fast as I possibly can with the help of the Lord, but I want you to notice, first of all, something about the presentation. Something about the presentation. When I talk about this presentation, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I want to say something about this presentation. It involves what I call surrender. Consecration. You'll never have a consecrated life totally, hey, given to him without surrender. We don't hear much about surrender today, but the word surrender means just to throw the white flag up and say, here I am, God. Here I am. I'm all yours. Hey, teetotally. Not part of me. Not three quarters of me. Not just on Sunday mornings. Hey, not I'm going to do whatever the club wants me to do on Friday and Saturday, but on church I'll go to Sunday. No, it's teetotally. I'm throwing up the white flag, God. Here I am. I'm yours. I surrender. And God said, I want you. And let me say something about this presentation. Hey, it's a desired presentation. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That word beseech, it's a strong word. That word beseech, it means to invite or to beg or to implore. It is a great, compelling call. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. It's a desired presentation. God desires you this morning. He's asking you. He's begging you. Hey, give yourself to me. Hey, present yourself to me. He desires that this morning. Not only is it desired, but let me say this, it's deserved. This presentation is deserved. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
Right.
By the mercies of God. I think about the mercies of God. And here we are in the context of Romans chapter 12. And I look back through the book of Romans and think about what Paul's been writing about. In the first few chapters of the book of Romans, he teaches us that all men are sinners, that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Hey, there's none righteous, no, not one. And how, hey, the wages of sin is death. And how all these things, and man, hey, I think about that. But then he goes on in chapters 4 and 5 and he begins to teach us how we're justified, hey, freely by his grace. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we think about the mercies of God of justification. Hey, when God saves a person, he declares them not guilty, hey, but he declares them righteous. Hey, justification is though I have sinned, though I'm as guilty can be, though I deserve to be in hell, though I deserve to burn forever, though I deserve, hey, the worst of the worst, God saved me by the good grace of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, when I trusted Jesus, placed my faith in him, hey, the gavel come down and God said, I declare that one righteous. I declare him righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. And justification is the great mercy of God. But then he goes on from chapter 5 over to chapter number 6 and he starts talking about how we are to yield our bodies. Hey, to who we yield our bodies to, we're servants to. And he talks about this thing of sanctification. Though I've been justified, hey, and I've been saved, hey, from the penalty of sin. He talks about sanctification, that daily I'm being saved from the power of sin. How every day I have the conscious right to deliver myself and to yield myself to the yielding of the Holy Spirit and allow him to be the Lord of my life and allow him to call the shots. And as he does, as I do that and yield to him, he saves me daily from the power of sin. But thank God he doesn't stop there. He gets on over into chapter 8 and he talks about that groaning and how we're earning. And he talks about we've been given the spirit of adoption. And he talks about we're waiting and we're looking forward, hey, to that adoption being complete. And he talks about, hey, not only our justification, and not only our sanctification, but thank God in chapter 8, he talks about those that have been saved, those that have trusted Christ, those that have been saved. He's predestined them to become, hey, like his son. Glorification. Hey, I have been saved at the moment of my salvation when I went to an old-fashioned altar January 10th, 1999. God justified me. I experienced justification. Since that day, day in and day out, I have been experiencing sanctification. Right. But one of these days, there's going to be a trumpet that sounds, and there's going to be a shout, and he's going to say, come up hither. Hey, come up hither. And when he says, come up hither, and I hear the shout, I'm leaving out, and I'm going to experience not justification and not sanctification, but I'm going to experience glorification. Right. I'll have a brand new body. I'll say goodbye, world, goodbye. I'll say goodbye, flesh, goodbye. I'll say goodbye, hey, temptations, goodbye. Goodbye, devil, goodbye. Amen. Goodbye, heartache, goodbye. Amen. Hey, goodbye, world, goodbye. Don't drive your stakes in too deep, good neighbors. If you're saved, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Hey, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, good neighbor. And one of these days, not only will I get a mansion, but I get a brand new body. I'll be glorified. I'll be like him. Amen. Glorified. Talking about the mercies of God. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin, but one of these days I'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Right. Hey, if you've been saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. And if you're not being saved, you'll never be saved because you've never been saved. Amen. Amen. But if you've been saved, you're going to be saved, and right now you're being saved. Are you confused? Hey, if you've been saved, you're being saved. And one of these days, you've been saved from the penalty. You're being saved from the power. And thank God you will be saved from the very presence of sin. One of these days, you won't have to worry about those backaches, those moaning, groaning. You don't have to worry about, hey, that neck hurting. You won't have to worry about those knees that you got replaced. You'll have a glorified body. You'll be just like him. Amen. Thank God. Hey, thank God. Thank God. I got those besetting sins and those weights that, hey, hold me back. But thank God I'll say goodbye. And Paul says, hey, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of it. If that ain't mercy, I don't know what mercies is. Hey, if the mercies of God isn't justification, sanctification, and glory, hey, if that's not mercy, mercy says I don't get what I deserve. All these people going around saying, oh, it ain't fair. If people go to hell, it ain't fair. Hey, if we got what was fair, we'd all be in hell. I'm glad justice called and mercy answered. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about this morning, hey, the presentation of our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, for a consecrated life, it's desired and it's deserved by the mercies of God. The songwriter said it like this. He said, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er his body on the tree, that I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Can I say to you, according to God's word, by the mercies of God, God doesn't deserve your best. He doesn't deserve your most. God doesn't deserve, you know, your greatest effort. I'll tell you what. God deserves your all. Amen. Your all. Glory. Lock, stock, and barrel. That's the whole gun. That's the lock, that's the stock, and that's the barrel. The whole thing. He wants it all. And he wants you. Let me say it's deserved, not only by the mercy of God, but it's deserved because, hey, he owns it. Hey, if you're saved, hey, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not? What, know you not that your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which, hey, watch it now, which is in you, which ye have of God. And watch this. And ye are not your own. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your. What's that next word? In your what?
Body.
And in your spirit, which are God's. There's a lot of people that says, preacher, I'm saved. And I'm glorified God in my spirit. But my body, Jesus, I just can't help what I'm doing. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yeah, you've got the power to yield or not to yield. And he says that, hey, your body, if you're saved, good day, hey, if you're saved this morning, your body's not your own.
Right.
Your body's a temple. It's a tabernacle for the Holy Spirit to live in. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
And as you live in this day and age, and as you live through your life, hey, Christ is living in you. He's not here in person, walking up and down. Hey, people can't see him except they see him through you.
Right.
And he says he deserves it. And he deserves it by the mercies of God. But let me say this, presentation not only is it a desire, not only is it deserved, but it's a deliberate presentation. It's not no accident. You're not going to deliver and present your body to God, hey, by no accident. He said that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I got a feeling when Paul was writing this that the people around him in the Roman Empire, they knew something about sacrifices. They had saw animal sacrifices. They'd seen pagan sacrifices. They'd even see the Jews sacrificing their tabernacle, and they'd seen certain things. But when he wrote this thing about a living sacrifice, now that was something different. When he thought about a living sacrifice, what is a living sacrifice? I got to thinking about it. And as I was doing some studying, I thought about Isaac in the Old Testament and how Abram took Isaac. And God told Abram, take your son, your only son Isaac, up on the mountain. And he told him to lay him down on that altar, and he told him to sacrifice his own son. Now, let me think about that. When we think about that many times, just go with me for a minute in your mind. When we think about that many times, we think about Isaac being some wee little 8-year-old kid that couldn't help himself.
Amen.
But you do a little study, and you'll find out he was at least 16 years old. At least, maybe up. Some people think up to 33 years old. He was somewhere in a good stature. Isaac, hey, a young, stout, brute young man. Abram, an old man.
Amen.
Abram, way old. He's frail. They go up on that mount. Let me say what Isaac was. Isaac, hey, he wasn't under the dominating thumb of his father making him.
Amen.
Isaac was a willing,
Amen.
Living sacrifice.
Amen.
Isaac said, Father, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the lamb? Hey, and Abram said, hey, son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Right.
And Isaac went up that mount, and he was willing to lay down his life. He trusted, his father
Amen.
Enough to lay down his life. Hey, and that's what God wants you to do this morning.
Yeah.
He wants you to trust Him enough, young person, to lay down your life.
Good.
He deserves it.
Amen.
But it's deliberate. You're going to have to do it. And let me just go to the New Testament. When we think about, hey, Isaac was a great picture of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Hey, Jesus Christ, hey, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me say this. God gave His Son, but Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down.
Right.
Hey, Jesus was a willing,
Amen.
Watch it, living sacrifice. Hey, did He live? Yes, He lived. But hey, He deliberately laid down His life and trusted His life into His Father's hands.
Right.
And that's what He wants from you this morning. Let me say, not only is it deliberate, but let me say it's a decided presentation. He said, he goes on to say, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Watch it now, which is your reasonable service.
Right.
That word reasonable comes from a word that means rationable. It has to do with an act of the mind. In other words, he's saying, when you sit down and you think about all God's done for you and all you deserve, but all God's grace and mercy, what He gives you, it only makes sense for you to give your body to God. Now, young people, I know the world's throwing things at you, and you're tempted, and you're a lord to give your body to this and your body to that, and people's tattooing and poking holes and doing things to their body, and girls are giving their bodies to their boyfriend. Hey, but God said your body's His if you're saved, and He says you're to give your body to Him, and it just makes sense when you think about all He's done for you. It just makes good sense for you to give it all to Him. It makes sense. And He says it's a decided thing, but not only this, let me say it's your duty. He says, which is your reasonable service. And that word service is an interesting word. And we think about, you know, many people think about in our day worship. You know, they think about, you know, la la, close their eyes and wave their hands and kumbaya, light a candle, whatever, hold hands and let's all get together. And let me say, I'm for raising your hands if it's all right. Hey, if it's the Bible way of lifting up holy hands. Let me say, I'm for clapping if it's clapping to the Lord. Hey, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, Psalm 47:1. But all this garbage we see today, woo! Hey, you can do that junk at the football game.
Right. Amen.
Hello? And and I can tell you, I can play certain kinds of music, make the lights dim to a certain place, and I can get probably every one of you that's not conscious of what I'm doing, I can get every one of you to raise your hands and wave a little bit with me. We can set the mood. But I'm talking about this word service. Hey, it comes from a word. Many times it's come from a word to render religious service or worship, to offer sacrifices. Many times it's used as to offering sacrifices as in worship to God. And let me say, here's my point. There's many people that will go in buildings today that call themselves worship centers or whatever, and they'll raise their little hands and woo, 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 and have a good time, get their emotional stirred, but they'll go outside and their life will say something totally different.
Right.
Let me say this. Until you're willing to sacrifice and lay down your body to God Almighty, right. Hey, you're not ready to worship.
Right. Amen.
The person who's ready to worship God is the person that lays it down and says, here I am, God. I'm all yours.
Yep. Right.
Let me say, it's your duty to present your body as a Christian. If you're not saved, hey, he's calling you to salvation. But if you're saved this morning, God's calling you to a life of consecration. But let me hurriedly say, he says something about our separation here. He says, and be not conformed in verse 2. He says, be not conformed to this world. That says something about our separation. To be conformed means to be fashioned into or to be pressed into the mold. Hey, young people, hey, Satan has a plan for your life just like God does. God's got a good plan for your life. Satan wants to destroy your life, and he'll destroy your life. The Bible says the thief has come. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life and have life more abundantly.
Amen.
So let me say this. Satan wants to destroy your life, and the way young person, he'll get you to destroy your life, or old person, don't matter how old you are, the way Satan gets you to destroy your life is by getting you to become conformed to the world, by letting the world press you into their mold. They're pressing you into their little die. You got to dress like them. You got to listen to what they listen to. You got to go where they go. You got to go according to their fashion. You got to do things their way. Oh, you got to look like them. You got to be cool, you know, like 50 Cent and Eminem. Hey, it's all out of hell.
Amen.
And all he's trying to do is destroy your life. And he says, be not conformed to this world. You know, hey, I can say this. It's even in a lot of Christian music.
Right.
And I love Southern gospel, but Southern gospel's getting into all this. And they just looking like country music and rock music and pop. Let me say, God's word says, be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Let me say to Hannah, she's my friend. Hey, always sing the good Christian songs like you sing this morning. Hey, make sure the message is clear, the message is strong. Hey, always sing about him. Make sure the message is more loud than the music.
Right. Amen.
The world says, you know, be like us. Glitz and glamour. Young person. Hey, if you want to serve God, this is what it's going to take. Be not conformed.
Right.
You can't let the world press you in them. There's too many people wanting to blur the lines and look just like the world. Well, if I look like them and I act like them, and I even make my music sound like them, then I can reach more of them. Show me somebody that's done that. Let me say this, hey, to all you preachers or whoever. What you win them with is what you win them to.
Yeah.
If you use rock music to get a crowd, you'll have to use rock music to keep a crowd.
Right.
I could preach right there about 3 weeks in a day, but I'll just move on and say, hey, be not conformed to this world. Peter said it over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance.
Right.
There was things I did before I got saved. I liked old Brooks and Dunn, the boot scootin' boogie. But hey, good neighbor, when I got saved, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, you know, I'm saved and everything, but I still like that worldly music. All things become new. But I still like them movies that's full of cussing and dirty. Hey, all things. I still like to dress like Britney and Jessica. All things.
Right.
And let me say, Lady Gaga ain't nothing lady about her.
Right.
And you older folks that don't know what I'm talking about, count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Right.
These young people know exactly what I'm talking about. It's bombarded them every day. Hey, it's on the television, on MTV. It's all across the world. It's all in every store you're going. Hey, ain't nothing lady about Lady Gaga or Kate Perry, either one.
Right.
Ain't nothing Christian about them. Ain't nothing godly about them. Ain't nothing for you about them. Amen.
Right.
It's going to help your life.
Right.
I know this ain't popular, but it's still Bible. Right. Be not conformed to this world. Let me say, oh, I thought you had this meeting for teens. We do. Hey, good neighbor. Yeah. But I'll tell you what our teens need. Our teens need, hey, the devil preached out of them. Our teens need the same thing we need. They need the Bible, amen. We need to get back to the old-time ways. We need to get back some of these old-time ways that the old-timers used to live right, dress right, hey, talk right, listen right, do right. Hey, just do right. And Bob Jones said, till the stars fall out, do right, amen.
Amen.
That's what we need. Be not conformed to this world, the world system, and all that they have for you. But watch this. But he goes on, there's a positive here. That's the negative. The positive is, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform, it's the word metamorpho. We think about a caterpillar. And that caterpillar, he spins a cocoon and he goes in that little thing. And he's just a little old tiny worm. He's just a little old ugly little ball of fuss when he goes in there. And he spins that cocoon and he's in there for a time. But when he comes out, man, he's a beautiful butterfly. He spreads his wings and flies. God says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't go the way the world wants you. Hey, but if you'll get in my wheel and you'll let me spin my cocoon, hey, you're going to come out a whole lot better than what you went in.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Watch this transformation. Let me say a few things about this transformation. It's a definite transformation.
Right.
But be ye. That's a definite, hey, command. Be ye transformed. Be ye. That's not a ought to be. That's a be ye.
Right.
That's not a think about it, young person. That's a be. That's God's command to you. Be ye transformed.
Right.
In other words, let him transform you and make you what he wants you to be. Not only is it definite, but it's a daily transformation. This word transformation, I could go into this. I could tell you it's a present, passive, imperative. What that means is, it means be transformed and continue to be transformed and to keep on being transformed and tomorrow be transformed and the next day be transformed. And until Jesus Christ calls you home and you get that glorified body, just keep on yielding yourself and being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
It's a daily transformation. But let me say this, it's a developing transformation. He said by the renewing of your mind. None of us could renew ourselves. None of us could transform ourselves. We couldn't do it to ourselves. But it takes that daily yielding, under the Holy Spirit and His leadership and the Word of God, and it's a daily developing thing. Hey, He said by the renewing of your mind. What He's telling you is, as you put the Word of God in you and the Word of God, you hear the preaching, you read the Word. Hey, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word of God. He illuminates your mind. Hey, as He changes you and puts the Word of God in your mind, there's an inward change that produces an outward result. Hey, as He changes what's on the inside, and you're not putting, Toby Keith in there no more.
Right.
But you're putting Peter, James, and John. And as you quit putting Eminem in there and you start putting Matthew and Mark in there.
Come on now.
Hello.
Amen.
Very good. Hey, when you get away from all the world's junk and all they're bombarding you.
That's right.
And you start putting good wholesome Christian reading and good wholesome Bible reading.
Amen.
In there. And you start singing songs like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Those kind of songs, hey, that's the kind of songs you need to be singing.
Right.
Hey, you hear the world's music, it'll get you depressed, thinking your dog left, your wife left. You've got to play it backwards to get happy again. Y'all know what I'm saying. You know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your dog back, your house back, your three wives back, your boat back, your sanity back. Hey, that's what the world, but God says just be transformed.
Right.
Put the right thing in. He'll change you and it'll produce an outward result. But let me say not only, something about confirmation and transfer, but let me say about confirmation and I'm done. Let me say this confirmation is the delightful thing. He says, and be not transformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove, watch it now, that you may prove, confirm. There's some things going to be confirmed. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The confirmation, this life. This word prove, it has to do with testing or examining, putting something under the scrutiny of examination and trial. And under trial, hey, proving that it is what it is.
Right.
It was used of metals in days gone by when this word was, when they wanted to sell precious metals or stones and whatnot, and they wanted to make sure that it was, they would bring it and they would prove it what it was. You could put certain metals to certain metals and you'd prove which one was the hard metal.
Yeah.
You can do things today. Hey, prove those things. He said, prove, test, examine. That means I could go all day on this, but God help us to have a little bit of discernment.
Yes, sir.
Christians need to get back to having some discernment.
Amen.
Judging things according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Should I do it? Amen.
Amen.
Should I not do it? Should I go there? Hey, prove that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, you're going to decide upon examination as you put to the test, as you're not conformed, as you're being transformed. God's going to confirm in your heart. Hey, some things are going to be proved what the will of God is. And let me say the Word of God, He said, the will of God, He said, what is that good? That word good means good. It means acceptable. It means generous, beneficial, upright. Let me say, young person, the will of God for your life, it will always be good.
Right. Amen.
Somebody said it's going to cost you. It's going to do. Hey, let me say, it may cost you in your eyes at the moment. And it may be a sacrifice in your eyes at the moment. But let me say, the will of God for your life will always be good.
Right.
Hey, I'm telling you, God has good thoughts for you. It may not be good in the world's eyes, but let me say, you'll always come out flying like a butterfly on the other side, not a little worm to get stomped on. God's will is good for your life.
Amen.
And it'll always be good.
Amen.
Not only is it good, but He said it's acceptable. That means it's well-pleasing. It's delightful.
Right.
Hey, not only is it good, hey, but it's delightful. It's acceptable. You'll like it.
Amen.
Hey, when you learn to live in the will of God under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, you'll learn to like it. You'll say, wow, I never had life like this. These people thinking they're living life, having a good time. They don't know what a good time is. Brother Donald, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you've lived a life out in the world. You've been and you know what it's like to get saved by the good grace of God and start living according to the will of God. Hey, and I'm telling you, it's good and it's acceptable. But not only is it good and acceptable, but it's perfect.
Right.
That word perfect means it's brought to completion, fully accomplished, consummate of the highest degree. It's to the utmost extent of anything that you could have. That's what God wants for you. Young person, mom, dad, God wants what's good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect for your life. I wonder this morning, would you answer the call to consecration? There's an invitation to consecration on your life. God wants you, young person, He wants you all. That word body, He said present your body. Let me add this. I did some study on that word body. Because a lot of people think, what's that word body mean? I'll tell you what that word body mean. And you get you a Greek dictionary, you get you an English dictionary, you get you any dictionary you want, you get all the study commentaries you want, and that word body, you know what it means? It means body. That's exactly what it means. God wants your body. He wants you to glorify Him in your body on this earth all the time, in every way, every day. Call to consecration. Would you answer the invitation to consecration this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your good word. Thank You, God, for Your blessings. God, I pray, God, You'd have Your will and way here in the invitation hour or a few minutes here. God, I pray You'd bless. Lord, I pray You'd speak to hearts and lives. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the pianist is beginning to play a hymn of invitation,